And there you see the famous picture of the three of them for Apollo 11. Mike Collins, in describing the three of them, you know, I asked him, well, what would you say characterize this crew? And he said, we were amiable strangers. Amiable strangers. And I said, could any other crew of Apollo be called amiable strangers? And he said, no, just us. And then I asked him, I said, well, what about just Neil and Buzz? What about their relationship? Well, first of all, here's what Mike said some more about Neil. He was the world divided into thinkers and doers, and test pilots tend to be doers and not thinkers, but Neil in the world of test pilots is way over on the thinker side. And here's a quote from Buzz. You'd think Buzz would have a real good understanding of Neil over the years, but I'm still convinced to this day in some of the things that Buzz had said about Neil even after Neil's death, Buzz was kind of clueless about Neil. Neil was a hard person to figure out. He didn't share himself very freely, and he certainly didn't do it with Buzz. But, I mean, some of this I say is right and is insightful, but there's a lot that Buzz thinks about Neil that I don't agree with. This is my favorite Neil and Buzz picture. I think it captures their relationship extremely well. I should probably wrap this up, shouldn't I? Yeah. I can maybe... Keep going? This is a really interesting issue, because who is going to be first out? You know, okay, so Buzz and Neil are in the lunar module together. They land. Who gets out first? Who gets to be the first man on the moon? Well, it might seem to us, you know, natural that, well, the commander would get out, right? Not so fast. There was a lot of interest in who the first man was going to be. As soon as it was clear to the press that Apollo 11 was going to do the flight and Aldrin and Armstrong were going to be down together, the press wanted to know who was going to be the first man. Deke Slayton said, well, it's going to depend. We've got a lot of mock-up procedures. We've got to see what it's like through, you know, exercises on the ground. We'll figure it out technically who's better to go out first, and then the decision will be made on that basis. That's what Deke told everybody. Outcome will be determined by ground simulations. Okay, and they did a lot of ground simulations about how this would all work out in full scale. There was a belief that the number two guy would go out first, because in the Gemini program, which was a two-person spacecraft, the EVAs were always done not by the commander, he stayed at the controls, by the second guy. In the flight of Gemini 8, it was going to be Dave Scott going out, and Neil would stay at command. So a lot of people thought, well, you know, if it's like Gemini, then it won't be the commander. The commander will stay inside, and it'll be the second guy out. There were stories that, and there still are stories, that Neil was selected to go out first because he was, quote, the civilian astronaut. Well, of course, he was a military. He was in the Korean War, flew 78 combat missions. Following the war, he had been in the Naval Reserve, and he had been decommissioned, and so he was no longer in military service. I don't believe that this was really a factor in NASA's decision about who went out first. I think it might have become kind of a positive that could be discussed. I mean, the country and NASA, they wanted it to be a civilian, peaceful, not a war type of thing, you know, in this competition with the Russians. So I think there was maybe some advantages in saying, you know, Armstrong was a civilian, but I don't think it really was ever a factor in how they decided this. Was Buzz upset when it was announced that Neil would come out first? Buzz said when I interviewed him and others have interviewed him, Buzz said, well, I just wanted a decision. I just wanted to know who it was going to be. Well, in fact, Buzz had gone around to a lot of different fellow astronauts' office sort of campaigning that he should be the one that was first out. You know, that Neil was either going to be too busy or Neil wasn't very talkative. He wasn't, you know, Buzz thought he could be more articulate about the moment. He could be more poetic. And a lot of the fellow astronauts just told him, get the hell out of my office. You know, Collins tells stories about that. He didn't want any part of it. Mike stuck in the middle between these two guys. You know, he has to get along with them both. There's a meeting, and this is new from my book as well. There was a meeting of these four guys that took place to have a discussion of the first out issue. And in this discussion, they all agreed unanimously, with no question, that Armstrong was the person that needed to go out first, not only because he was the commander, but because he had no ego. He was very Charles Lindbergh-like in terms of his personality. He would be the perfect iconic representative of NASA and humankind, whereas Buzz would be a pain in the ass. You know? There was no way they were going to let Buzz Aldrin be the first man out. But, you know, there's the Lindbergh-like. But Buzz believes to this day that it was not based on that, because what Deke told everybody was, well, in the lunar module, Neil's standing to the left and Buzz is to the right. The spacecraft itself, I mean, there's fuses and switches, and you could poke a pencil through the wall of the lunar module, and there was a concern that the hatch that you got out was down here in front of Neil, and there was a concern that if Buzz in his backpack and Neil in his backpack, if they had to do a two-step around each other, that you could damage the spacecraft in some way. So what NASA told everybody, including their own astronauts, was we're doing this for technical reasons. The hatch opens this way. It'd be so too hard for the lunar module pilot to go out, so Neil has to go out first. And Buzz still thinks that's the way the decision was. But there's incontrovertible evidence that this meeting took place, and they decided it had to be Neil. And I talked to Al Bean about this, and he said, yeah, NASA was just pulling everybody's leg on this technical stuff, because look, he was Buzz Aldrin for Apollo 12, and you know Pete Conrad was Neil Armstrong. Bean told me, he said, well, yeah, it would be hard to step around if we have our backpacks on, but let's step around before we put our EVA backpacks on, and then we'll put them on. He said, there's no problem in having the lunar module pilot go out first. You just, you know, you don't put your backpacks on until you're in the position to go out. So did Neil care that he was the first man on the moon? I don't think he ever really addressed it in that direct of terms. But my own conviction, 100%, is that Neil was all about the landing. He was a pilot. He was an engineer. What he focused on, what his job was to get that thing down safely. You know, taking a step off the ladder, to him, that wasn't the technical challenge. That wasn't the engineer in him. You know, he was about the landing. He was about the piloting. Did Buzz care? Buzz claims he doesn't. But here's something that I have in the book. If Buzz didn't care that Neil got to go out first, why did he go to George Lowe in 1972, 3 years after the landing, and ask George Lowe why Neil went out first? And even more than that, and I'm not sure how many of you are aware of this, but all of the famous photographs that we see of the astronaut on the lunar surface, that one, and that one, and that one, and the famous book print, those are not Neil. Those are all Aldrin. Neil took those pictures of Aldrin. Neil and Aldrin took his own footprint picture. Buzz took not a single explicit picture of Armstrong on the lunar surface. The only pictures of Neil are, you can see part of a leg or part of a backpack. You know, Neil just sort of got in the way of the picture. There are no pictures of Neil that we should have. When I talked to Gene Kranz, famous flight director, author of Failure is Not an Option, I asked him about why don't we have pictures of Neil. He said, I don't have an explanation, and that's something to me that is unacceptable. He called it a minor tragedy that we don't have pictures of Armstrong on the surface. And this is, to me, the clincher. When I talked to Buzz directly about it, and Buzz said, well, I was going to take a picture of Neil, even though the mission plan didn't call for me to take any of Neil. Well, the mission plan didn't call for Neil to take a bunch of pictures of Buzz either, but he did it. But here's the real smoking gun. Buzz told me that he was going to take a picture of Neil at the flag planting ceremony, when they were both saluting the flag. Neil took a picture of Buzz. You saw that picture earlier. And Buzz was going to take the camera, which was mounted on the front of Neil's suit. He was going to take it and take a picture of Neil. Well, at just that moment, according to Buzz, The phone call from Richard Nixon, President Nixon comes in. Buzz didn't know there was going to be a phone call from President Nixon. He's flustered. He doesn't know what he's going to say. So he says. So he said, in the confusion of that, he forgot to take a picture of Neil. Well, I don't know why, if Buzz really believes that story. He's told it enough that he has come to believe it. But the communications transcript clearly shows that the phone call from Nixon doesn't come until 7 to 8 minutes after they've left the plant flag planting ceremony, and they're about 30, 35 feet apart. So what it is that Buzz is remembering there is kind of fishy. There you see him after their success. This is the ticker tape parade in New York City. Neil, of course, is not allowed to fly anymore. He stays with NASA for a short time after Apollo 11. He's back in the aeronautics world, but they don't let him really do the job there. There are too many congressmen and VIPs want him to come over to their office to sign things. So Neil decides to get out of the Washington scene in NASA, and he becomes a professor of aeronautical engineering. Can you imagine being a student, you students, you walk into class and you're getting taught aerodynamics by Neil Armstrong? I talked to a number of students, and it kind of freaked them out for a while. There's a picture of Neil with his second wife, Carol. You only see him from behind. 1997, Neil and his wife, Janet, first wife, divorced in the early 90s. And Neil remarried. Was Neil the best possible first man? I think I agree with the four men who made that decision. The icon. He's an icon, but he was a three-dimensional man, and I was lucky enough to get to know him. For the flesh and blood person that he was. I have to throw in a few Australia pictures. As you probably know, and he made a couple of visits to Australia in May 2012, just 3 months before his death. This is an interview when he came to give a talk to the Certified Practicing Accountants of Australia. A lot of people were confused. Why did he go talk to the CPAs? Neil's father, Stephen, had been an auditor in the state of Ohio, and I guess he was doing it kind of in honor of his father. There's a picture of Neil with one of my friends from Melbourne, a man named Peter Shanford. I'm not sure how many of you know Peter. He was a former CNN correspondent. Of course, this is in Sydney. And here is Neil at the simulator of the A380, which I flew over on a few days ago with Captain Richard DeCrespi, who was the pilot of the QF-32 flight that had the engine blow up coming out of Singapore. So Richard and Neil got to know each other well. I kind of helped get them to know one another. And this is my favorite picture of Neil. If you don't recognize me, my hair has thinned out and gotten grayer, but this is the one picture I have with Neil. I can't tell you, when I heard the day that he died, I was talking to Len earlier, and Len remembers when his wife told him, and I remember when my daughter called me, I was getting ready for a nephew's wedding. It was stunning, and there's a lot, I can't tell you, but there's a lot about his death that is not publicly known, and it's more of a tragedy than you might imagine. Thank you so much. I'm sorry if I kept you late. I have such a passion for this history and for this man, and I want everybody to remember him in the right kind of way, you know, not just as the icon, but as a living, breathing man who was this incredible engineer whose career took him from those model airplanes to the moon. Thank you very much.